morning. Join us in singing. It came upon the midnight clear. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from them all gracious be. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on the bay, the Son of Mary. And ye beneath life's crushing blow, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. What child is this?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on the bay, the Son of Mary.
In the first chapter of John, we learn about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You may remember that Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, when Elizabeth and Zechariah were older in age, an angel came to Zechariah and told him that his wife Elizabeth would have a son, and he was to name him John. Zechariah balked at that just a bit. And as a result, his tongue stopped working and he was unable to speak for the duration of the pregnancy. When Elizabeth gave birth to John, the first thing that Zechariah did was to name his son John, as he had been instructed, and then to sing a song of prophecy about John and about the way of peace. So I invite you this morning, as we begin worship on the second Sunday of Advent, to join me in a responsive reading of that song of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free. The Lord has raised us up a mighty Savior from the house of David. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears, and to remember the holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship without fear, holy and righteous in the Lord's sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, in the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. As we continue worship this morning, we offer to God our prayers, and I invite you to take just a moment and note the names of those on the screen, the names of folks who are in need of our prayer and the healing power of God, and I invite you to pray for them. This morning, as we pray for peace. The second Sunday of Advent, we remember the peace of Christ that has come into the world. Peace that is not nostalgic or trite. Peace that is not wistful or fleeting. But peace that enters into the ordinary and the mundane. And peace that can do the extraordinary. Peace that can bring about reconciliation. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And so this morning, as we offer prayers for peace in a variety of ways, we're going to do that with our eyes wide open, literally. Our prayer this morning is a video prayer, and it reminds us of seeking that peace to sustain us throughout the day, to invade us as the night comes upon us, peace that becomes ingrained in our world. We pray for peace, peace in our lives and peace on earth. So I invite you to pray with me this prayer. Thank you. week in worship, we have the opportunity to offer our tithes and our offerings, to offer not just who we are, but what we have to God. And so I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me as we prepare to offer to God our gifts. Let's pray. Oh God, during this season of Advent, you remind us that you speak to us through your prophets, and you call us toward mercy and compassion, toward justice, and making an impact in our world. We pray this morning that you will bless the gifts that we give, that you will use them and work through them to bring about light in the darkness and to encourage us as a witness to walk in a way of peace. So bless these gifts and multiply them, and may they be used for your work in the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Peace into our violence. Come, Lord Jesus, welcome to our world. It is the second Sunday of Advent, and on this week in the year, we light the candle of peace. Last week, we lit the candle of hope, and this is the week when we light the one for peace. And it is also the week when we hear from John the Baptist. From the Gospel of Luke this year. In other years, it comes from either Matthew or Mark. But I invite you to follow along as I read for us the words from the third chapter of Luke. In the 15th year of the rule of the Emperor Tiberius, When Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives, and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this service, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this morning. Amen. You know, there is a risk when we get to this particular Sunday every year and light the candle of peace, that it will drift into some sort of sentimental trip through nostalgia, that we will settle for this comfy and cozy and quaint notion of peace, but one that really bears little resemblance and no meaningful connection to the reality of our lives and of our world. Even some of our song lyrics at this time of year have the risk of leading us in that sentimental, nostalgic direction. One in particular that comes to mind is Away in a Manger, and specifically the second verse. I love Away in a Manger. But in the second verse, there's that line that says, "Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." Now, come on, friends. He is in a manger, in a place where there are animals, and when the cow moos, and when the goats bleat, and there are noises and smells, and a baby wakes up, I don't care who he is, he's going to cry. I mean, you all who have had children know this to be the truth, right? But it's such a beautiful, quaint little picture to think of baby Jesus sleeping on the hay. No crying. Even when we get to one of the most revered hymns of the season, and another one that I love, especially when we offer it together in worship at that moment when we light the candles on Christmas Eve, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. All is rest. Sleep in heavenly peace. It's a wonderful vision, and it is something for us to hope for, and yet what we know even in those moments is that all is not calm in the world, and all is not bright, and there are things that keep us from being at peace, both in our own lives and certainly in our world. And so on this particular Sunday in Advent, this second Sunday of the season, when we light the candle of peace, I am grateful for the voice of John the Baptist, who steps in to disrupt those sentimental, nostalgic ideas about peace. He seemingly disturbs the peace with his announcement, because when he comes in, it doesn't seem calm at all. We hear John's voice with a sense of urgency, and it's saying, "Prepare the way! Make straight God's paths! The crooked needs to become straight. The rough places plain. The mountains leveled and the valleys raised up. Prepare," John says. And when we hear that word on John's lips, it is a far cry from the preparing that comes to mind for a lot of us this time of year and all of the time and energy that will be occupied making preparations for the season that are largely on the exterior. You know, the exterior of our houses and our trees. All of those things that we do to get ready to prepare. In the middle of all of that, on this Sunday in Advent, John reminds us and calls us to the important task of making interior preparations for the coming of Emmanuel. Now, in order to understand John's message, we have to locate it in its context. This is one of those places where it's so important for us to remember that anytime we are reading Scripture, in order to more fully understand the verse or the passage, it's a good idea to see what happens before and after. And so we're going to take a moment to look both backward and forward today. Looking backward, we remember the song that his father Zechariah sang, the one that we shared in as a responsive reading earlier this morning. And in that song, Zechariah is calling attention to the one who will come, the one who comes as the Son of God, Messiah, into the world. And then Zechariah identifies his own son as the one who will prepare the way. That John the Baptist will come and prepare the way for the one who will come into the world in order to guide us all in the way of peace. And what we hear in those words from Zechariah is that peace is not just something that happens to us. Peace is not just a comfortable, cozy feeling. We don't just get a little peace dust sprinkled on us in the Christmas season. Peace is meant to be a way of life. And we are meant to be active participants in bringing that peace into the world, in living the way of peace, not only for our own sake, but for the sake of others. So then fast forward to the other side of John's message. Shortly after he announces that news of preparing the way, then people start asking, well, John, if this is what we're supposed to do, what should we do? And in verses 10 through 14 of chapter 3, we hear John give several answers. When the soldier says, "What should I do?" John says, "Don't extort people. Don't take things that aren't yours just because you can by force." When the tax collector says to John, "What should I do?" John says, "Don't cheat people. Don't take more from them than you should as the tax collector." And when another person says, "What should I do, John?" He says to the whole crowd, if you have things to share, then do so. If you have two of something and you see somebody that doesn't have any, then take one of your two and give it to someone else. By doing these things, we see that we become participants in resisting the evil and the injustice and the oppression of the world. Those very things that the one who comes as the Son of God comes to make reality and to call us as followers in that way. These are the things that make for peace for all of God's children. And without breaking down those walls of evil and injustice and oppression, there can be no real peace. So prepare the way, John says. How? By changing. The word that gets used in the gospel this morning of Luke in that third chapter is the word repentance. In the Greek, it is metanoia, a word which literally translated means to change one's mind, but carries with it the idea of turning around, turning in a completely new direction. That's really what repentance is all about. I think we get bogged down sometimes with that word repentance. And often these days in early 21st century, I find little interest from people in repentance. People are much more interested in defensiveness or justifying themselves or pointing the finger at somebody else and what's wrong with somebody else and other people and things out there. But we take very little time to look inside and see the places where we may need to change. And so John this morning invites us to repent, to change, to turn and go in a new direction. This past week, our Stepping Stones preschool had their Christmas performance here in the worship center. It is a wonderful night, and I always look forward to what Jan has planned with the teachers and the children, and hearing their beautiful voices sing songs of the season, and thinking about the fact that as young children, they are learning these messages of our faith as they share those songs. And my favorite moment this past week was them all singing together, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," and "Let It Begin With Me." What a wonderful message for them to be learning from such an early age, that peace doesn't just happen without our participation. And so when we say, let there be peace on earth, we have to follow it up by saying, and let it begin with me. So I ask you this morning, where is it that you need to turn around and walk a different way this Advent season? There are two characters that show up every year during the Christmas season. Two characters that have a whole lot wrong with them in the beginning of their stories, and so it makes it easy for us to dislike them. They aren't very lovable characters. Ebenezer Scrooge from the Christmas Carol, and the Grinch who stole Christmas. But as we go through the storylines of both of those tales, we witness a transformation taking place for both Scrooge and the Grinch. And by the time that transformation is complete, they have both turned in a completely new direction. Where previously all they could do was make everyone around them miserable because they seemed to be miserable themselves, they shift, they pivot their lives in new directions. And when they do, their change of behavior results in them bringing peace to their communities because they spread goodwill to others around them. What behaviors, what attitudes, what words, what thoughts, what habits need to change in you this Advent in order for you to become an ambassador of Christ's peace? What do you need to turn and walk away from in order for you to participate in that peace that God wants to bring to all of us, to our own lives, to our own homes, to our friends, and even to our enemies? Christ Jesus. You know, I love a good sunrise. And usually, at least once a year, Catherine and I get the opportunity to make a trip to the mountains of North Carolina, where Catherine's parents have had some property for 30-plus years now, near Chimney Rock, Lake Lure, in the western North Carolina mountains. And one of the things I love most about going to the farm, as we affectionately call it, is waking up early in the morning and getting a cup of coffee and walking out onto the front porch and sitting down in one of the rockers that is on that porch and looking out at the landscape in front of me, because that front porch porch faces to the east. And so before me I have this wonderful view of several mountains near their home. And the sun comes up over those mountains. And it is such a peaceful setting. And I enjoy just sitting there and watching the sunrise and being reminded once again of a new day that begins each and every morning. I have a friend who's a pastor over in the Ormond Beach area, and when he moved there a few years ago, one of the things that he was most excited about was being able to live near the beach so that he could get up in the morning and go out to the beach and watch the sunrise on the east coast of Florida every day. Because for him, it's a reminder that no matter what happened the day before, no matter what went wrong, or no matter what grief there was, or no matter where he messed up, or where life wasn't as it should be, after the darkness, a new day begins, filled with new possibilities. In the second week of Advent, the Scriptures remind us, through the voice of Zechariah and through the voice of his son John, that in Jesus Christ, a new dawn is coming from on high. In the words of that familiar carol, O Holy Night, yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. Because of what God is doing. John says to us, turn around. Change your hearts and your lives so that you will be ready, so that we can see it. And not only us, so that all flesh will see the salvation of God coming into being. Prepare the way, my friends, for the Prince of Peace is coming. We pray. Holy God, help us this Advent season to carve out the time and the space we need for you to do the work that only you can do, and the work that we most need on the inside, so that our lives might be a reflection of your goodness and might share your peace, so that it comes on earth to all your children.
Week as we come to the table, we reflect and we remember, and we are sustained. We remember that God created everything that is, and created each one of us, and created light on that first and glorious morn. And we celebrate the dawning of creation. We know that also we turned away from God. We turned around and went the other way. But God continued to pursue us, to call out to us, to call us to turn around and to turn back toward God. God's love never fails. And then when the time was right, the voice of the prophet came saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And God came in Jesus Christ. And he walked on this earth and he ate with sinners, and he healed the sick, and he fed the hungry, and he proclaimed repentance and forgiveness of sin, and invited each one of us to willing to even sacrifice his own life out of great love for us and obedience to God. And so on the night before he was put to death, he reminded the disciples of his love for them and his willingness to give all out of love for them. He took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he came and took the cup. And he again gave thanks to God. And he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." And so we come to this table. Be witnesses of God's love and light in the world, to be those who walk in a way of peace and bring about transformation because of the transformation in our own lives. We pray with me. So God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body of Christ, so that we may go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And we pray, O God, that you would make us one, that you would reconcile us to Christ, to each other, and to all the world in ministry, until Christ comes again and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Let me invite those who are going to be serving to come and receive the elements of the new meal. As they are coming and preparing to serve, I invite you to spend a few moments in reflection and prayer, to think about the ways that you may have turned away from God in your own life, and how God might be calling you to turn around, to change your mind, to take on a new attitude, a new habit, a new way of living, a way that exemplifies mercy and compassion, justice and peace. So you might be praying about that now as you're waiting to come. You might come and receive and then spend some time at the kneeling benches in prayer. Again, asking God how it is that you might need to turn around and be a new creation in Christ. You'll come forward by the left side of your section. At the left side of your section, come to the servers in front of your section. Cup your hands to receive a piece of bread and take that bread and dip it in the cup. Then you can return to your seats by the other side. There's also gluten-free on each of the far sides. And just ask the servers closest to that, and we'd be happy to serve you. Please come. Everything's ready.
Burns in the darkness, shines with the promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, singing glory.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this meal, for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself for us. We pray that it will strengthen and nourish us so that we can go out and be those who offer compassion and mercy and justice, those who walk in the way of peace as you guide us on this bright and glorious morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So let's stand and sing our last hymn. And if you haven't caught under the trend, I like to mix some of the songs up, so we're going to do that some more. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Join all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the
the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Dawn is breaking from on high, and the message that goes out to every one of us today is to prepare the way, to change our hearts and lives so that we may be a part of what God wants to do among us. So go trusting in the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the strength of the Holy Spirit to guide us.